translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, Abhicharanavrindam Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. I have thus explained to you the gross material gigantic conception of the personality of Godhead. One who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind on this form of the Lord, because there is nothing more than this in the material world. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 9.10, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has verily explained that the material nature is only an order-carrying agent of His. She is one of the different potencies of the Lord, and she acts under His direction only. As the Supreme Transcendental Lord, He simply casts a glance over the material principle, and thus the agitation of matter begins, and the resultant actions are manifested one after another by six kinds of gradual differentiations. All material creation is moving in that way, and thus it appears and disappears in due course. Less intelligent persons with a poor fund of knowledge cannot accommodate the thought of this inconceivable potency of the Lord Sri Krishna, by which He appears just like a human being, Bhagavad Gita 9.11. His appearance in the material world as one of us is also His causeless mercy upon the fallen souls. He is transcendental to all material conceptions, but by His unbounded mercy upon His pure devotees, He comes down and manifests Himself as the personality of Godhead. Materialistic philosophers and scientists are too much engrossed with atomic energy and the gigantic situation of the universal form, and they offer respects more seriously to the external phenomenal feature of material manifestations than to the noumenal principle of spiritual existence. The transcendental form of the Lord is beyond the jurisdiction of such materialistic activities, and it is very difficult to conceive that the Lord can be simultaneously localized and all-pervasive, because the materialistic philosophers and scientists think of everything in terms of their own experience. Because they are unable to accept the personal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Lord is kind enough to demonstrate the Virat feature of His transcendental form. And herein, Srila Shukadev Goswami has vividly described this form of the Lord. He concludes that there is nothing beyond this gigantic feature of the Lord. None of the materialistic, thoughtful men can go beyond this conception of the gigantic form. The minds of the materialistic men are flickering and constantly changing from one aspect to another. Therefore, one is advised to think of the Lord by thinking of any part of His gigantic body, and by one's intelligence only, one can think of Him in any manifestation of the material world, the forest, the hill, the ocean, the man, the animal, the demigod, the bird, the beast, or anything else. Each and every item of the material manifestation entails a part of the body of the gigantic form, and thus the flickering mind can be fixed in the Lord only and nothing else. This process of concentrating on the different bodily parts of the Lord will gradually diminish the demoniac challenge of godlessness and bring about gradual development of devotional service to the Lord. Everything being a part and parcel of the complete whole, the neophyte student will gradually realize the hymns of Isha Upanishad, which state that the Supreme Lord is everywhere, and thus he will learn the art of not committing any offense to the body of the Lord. This sense of God-mindedness will diminish one's pride in challenging the existence of God. Thus one can learn to show respect to everything, for all things are parts and parcels of the Supreme Body. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmei Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parichana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bahevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for allowing me to take an opportunity to serve in a different way today. I haven't given Srimad Bhagavatam class in a long time, so I'm really rusty. But again, thank you for this opportunity and hope I can speak something of value today. There's so many interesting perspectives to this purport, so many points that Srila Prabhupada brings up. And one of the main points I want to talk about first is the six gradual changes. It says in the purport, and the resultant actions are manifested one after another by six kinds of gradual differentiations. So when I was traveling around and getting opportunities to hear different lectures from Bhakti Charamaj, he gave me the understanding that these six changes are proof. Whatever in the world has these six changes, you can understand that it's proof of life. If something doesn't have these six differentiations, gradual differentiations, we can't say that there's life. For example, this chair next to Prayojan Prabhu, it has not been born, it's not grown, it's not remained or changed, it's not reproduced into another chair, it's not dwindled, and it's not dead. So these are the six changes. But we see, for example, the human body. It has life because it has these six changes. It has birth, growth, remaining, changing, reproducing, dwindling, and death. So it's actually it's a very nice experiment because the atheists and Christians also, they believe that animals don't have a soul. But Srila Prabhupada says, what's the proof? What's the symptom of the soul? So basically, these six differentiations are symptoms of the soul. This is how you can test whether something has a soul, whether something has consciousness. Like a tree or an animal, for the atheists and Christians, an animal has birth. It has growth. It grows just like us. It remains for some time and it changes. It changes its color, it changes its body, then it reproduces. Even bacteria has these six gradual differentiations. It's born, it grows, it remains for some time, it reproduces, it dwindles and it dies. So we can therefore see that even bacteria has soul, a spiritual entity, anything that has these six changes. But the contradictory side is that anything who has that has these six gradual differentiations, you can also understand, is the situation of the material world. Whatever is born, it must die. Whatever is born in this material world, because the six differentiations are compact for everything in this material world, then it has to lead to death. Oh, a new son has been born. Srila Prabhupada said, no, he's not born. Death is born. Death is born. It's a very powerful point. But because life becomes so short and frustrating, because there's death all around us, there's disease, old age all around us, that's why atheism is born. Charvak Muni says, Rinam kritva gritam pibet yavaj jivet sukam jivet. Eat, because there is little time, because there is little time to enjoy in this material world, he says, eat ghee, eat lots of ghee. Because ghee is a very opulent substance in India. If you have a lot of ghee in your food, it means you're opulent living. So eat lots of ghee, he says. And beg from your friends, borrow from your friends, or steal from your friends. And enjoy this. Just live life. There's no God, there's no hell. Live life. Just enjoy your senses. So this is Charvak Muni. He's the leader of the atheists, you could say. But this leads us into quite a hellish lifestyle, obviously. We can see from Bhagavad Gita 2.63 that if you have this mentality of eating ghee and enjoying the sense gratification and beg, borrow, and steal from anyone, then imagine taking a walk with this mentality down a shopping mall. Imagine taking a walk down a shopping mall with this consciousness. While you're walking, you're seeing all these objects around you. You're seeing different shops, different people, different distractions, ice cream stores, big massage beds which have water shoving up it, and people going inside, lying down. If you've seen Westfield, it's a crazy thing. All these different distractions. So imagine walking down this mall and being confronted with all these distractions around us. So what's going to happen is that the mind, with this consciousness of Rinam Kritva Gritam Bibet, with this consciousness of enjoying, it's going to contemplate on different subjects around. It's going to contemplate, oh, there's ice cream. Oh, there's that massage. Oh, there's that shop. Oh, that advertisement is so good. Everyone is buying that tie. I want that tie. So the mind will naturally start contemplating on different objects around in the mall. It's a horrible place. Because you're contemplating, therefore, you get attached. I want it. So lust starts to develop. Yeah, you're contemplating, it may be nice, but as soon as you contemplate that it's nice and it's good for your sense gratification, then the next thing happens is desire, lust. I want it. Not just I want it, I must have it now. Because Rinam Kritva Kritam Bibet, this is the way I live. I must have it because I am the sense enjoyer. And so we desire, we go for that shop, we go inside, we look around. But when we come out of that shop, when we come back home, we feel frustrated. We feel frustrated because the desires or the expectation of happiness that those objects could or we wanted to feel, that expectation of happiness that those objects should have made us feel, does not make us feel. Maybe the next day we give it back to the shop. Maybe we throw it 2 days later. So it's a constant after this desire, because our desire cannot be fulfilled in the material world, thus we get angry. And that's how we know that we are doing it for ourselves. But devotees, if they go into a shopping mall, what happens to them? Srila Prabhupada says in his purport, you should choose that food, those objects that will be of service to Krishna. You should choose that food, that bhoga that Krishna likes. So if you come back home with this desire, if you have this consciousness, and it doesn't work out per se, maybe it got rotten, there will never be anger. There will never be anger because the desire is not for you. And if there's anger, it's spiritualized because the desire is there for Krishna. So you can see devotees get angry sometimes. But you have to see, okay, even yourself, we may get angry, but we have to see, why am I getting angry? Is it because I can't fulfill my desire to enjoy, or I can't fulfill my desire to please Krishna? Why is it that I'm getting angry? So the material anger, and then there's a spiritual anger. If I'm angry, is it because my false ego is challenged? Is it because my enjoying and controlling mentality is challenged? So that's there. And that's all these, if you're that kind of person who has, or if you have that consciousness that my false ego is challenged, my controlling mentality is challenged, my enjoying mentality is challenged, all of those people collectively come together and they are born together in Kali Yuga. Every one of those people with that consciousness, they all get stuck together in Kali Yuga, and Krishna says, enjoy. Full of sense gratification. This is how atheism is born. Atheism is like two fish looking at a moon. One fish asks the other fish, what is that shiny thing in the sky? And the other fish says, that's another fish. And the other fish says, why is it shiny? And the other fish says, it's a shiny fish. This is basically how atheists see God. They want to bring God down to their understanding, their short, limited realization. Krishna bolya jiva bhoga vancha kore. As soon as you turn your face away from Krishna, Maya immediately captures you. Maya hugs you. Maya embraces you. Come to my lap. She's a witch, Pisachi. She's a witch. She says, come, lie down on my lap. Let me suck your blood. Let me suck your blood, she says. And we say, yay. This is our situation in the material world. And thus, in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 1, text 10, it says, manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi udab upadritaha. Manda. We are lazy. People in Kali Yuga, we are lazy. Sumanda, we are misguided. Manda bhagya, we are very unlucky, very unfortunate, always. And hi upadritaha, we are always, always disturbed. When I was growing up, I heard this story. I'm not sure where it's from. Maybe someone can point it out. But it caught my attention. And I'll say it how it is as well. There was a palace, and there was a princess living in the palace. And she was used to a lot of opulence. She really liked her opulence. So I think, if I remember correctly, one intelligent man or some kind of philosopher, he came to the palace, and maybe it wasn't a philosopher, but he wanted to challenge how much this princess is used to an opulent life. So he asked her that night to sleep on 100 mattresses. Imagine that, you know, Hiranyakashipu, soft bed. Imagine how we'd like that. 100 mattresses. So she obviously agreed, she likes opulence. So she climbed up this mattress, these 100 mattresses. This is a story I heard when I was like 2 years old or something. Three, four, five. I had no consciousness. When I had consciousness. So she slept that night on 100 mattresses. But to test how much she was used and addicted to opulence, he put one apple underneath one of the mattresses. I think it was quite low down, as far as I remember the story. Sorry? Bottom, was it the bottom? You know the story. yes, it exists. Yeah. So what happened that night? She couldn't sleep. She couldn't sleep at all. And the next morning he asked her, how did you sleep? Is it okay? And she said, no, I had a terrible night. Terrible night. That's what I remember from the story. And I understood that the purport of this story, the moral of this story, is how disturbed we can be in the material world, how disturbed we can be over the slightest thing, especially in Kali Yuga. I don't know, does that finish the story, maybe? Yes, it exists.
There was all these princesses want to marry the prince. Mm. So the king
got the sage to come and said, test which one is a real princess.
Ah.
Which one is a real princess, right? So they put one pea, a pea, not an apple, under the mattress. So all of the mattresses. So none of the princesses complained except one. So she's the most delicate, the most feminine, the most perfect. See? So a real princess, she's so delicate, so goddess of fortune, she will be disturbed by the single pea.
It wasn't 100 mattresses, was it?
It was just... Yeah, 100
mattresses. 100 mattresses, okay, that. Good, so this verse in... Thank you for that, by the way. This verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, it basically is there to teach us where we are. Manda sumanda matyo manda bhagya huta apadrataha. Where are we? We're in a prison. We're in a prison with four walls. What are those walls? Birth, death, old age, and disease. Living in this material world is like living in a toilet. You go to the toilet to relieve yourself. You may take time to contemplate on certain activities. You may want to get away from certain people, Krishna, as we've come into this material world. You may look in the mirror for several minutes and check yourself out. But it stinks in there. If people come in and see you just chilling out in the toilet, it gets awkward, doesn't it? So the toilet is not a place to stay. A toilet is a temporary place. You do your business, you leave. Srila Prabhupada says, you do your business in this material world or however long we have left and you leave. Here is not for us to stay. His Grace Janakinath Prabhu also gives an example. Where are we? We're living in a society where people say you need three things to be happy. You need time. Time feels good. You need wealth, money, and you need health. These three things. But the great thing about this is that every point in your life, you're always missing one. When you're young, you have health and you have time, but you have no wealth. When you are a little older in a job, middle-aged man, you have health, you have money, lots, but you have no time. And when you're old, you have a lot of time, a lot of money, but no health. So this is the contradictory trick of Maya when she captures you. She says, try and enjoy, try and suck out the candy from the sugar cane. You'll keep chewing and chewing and chewing. So this is where we are. But we have accepted a body which is nirananda, but we are made of ananda. We have accepted a body which is asat, but we are by nature sat, eternal. And we have accepted a body which is full of ignorance. Full of ignorance. Nirananda sat. Sat is eternal. Sat-chit is knowledge. So we've accepted a body which is achit. So it's sat, Chit Ananda. So we've accepted a body which is Achit, Asat, and Nirananda. And we're hoping to make the material body enjoy as if it is Sat Chit Ananda. That's why we get constantly frustrated. But thankfully, in this verse we learn a very nice opportunity is given to us. Because the material world is like a ticket booth. Why is it like a ticket booth? Krishna gives a great opportunity in this material world that you go to this ticket booth and you can go anywhere in the universe. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki chai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Shishi Gornitai ki chai. So this world, as soon as you go to this ticket booth, you can pick any ticket you want. You can go to the hellish planets if you want to. You can go to the ghostly planets. What's that verse? Yanti deva vrita devan pitrin yanti pitri vritaha bhutani yanti pudeja yanti madhyajinopimam. Anything you want in this material world, anywhere you want to go, worship that thing and attain that destination. So Srila Shukadev Goswami, however, gives us the best ticket in this verse. He says, if you are seriously desiring of liberation, concentrate your mind on the form of the Lord. This is the top ticket. So anyone knows the Paribhasa Sutra of Bhagavad Gita? The emperor verse of Bhagavad Gita, the key verse which explains all other verses? That's good, yeah. One of those, there's actually two, it's a trick question. No. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvita. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who know this perfectly engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their hearts. But that's tattva. That's from the tattva vichar. That's the Paribhasa Sutra. But if you go to the rasa vichar, the Paribhasa Sutra of Bhagavad Gita is Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Veshyasi Satyamte Pratijani Priyosime. One should constantly think of me, worship me within his heart, offer obeisances to me, offer your homage unto me. Thus he will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my very dear friend. And there's two of those verses. That's how important that is. So then Srila Shukadev Goswami is basically saying, give your mind to Krishna. Now, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita have a great link. And one who seriously desires liberation concentrates his mind. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. Concentrate your mind on Krishna. Madhyaji mam namaskuru. You will come to him. Because there's nothing more in this material world. Why do we want to get away from our situation is also to get a better situation. We're never really renouncing this material world, Srila Prabhupada says. We can never really renounce anything. Because when we renounce something, it's always to get something better. Therefore, we're not really any, in one sense. We can never renounce. No one, anything is ours. What we want, what is that we want? We want Ramante yogino nante satyanande chidatmani iti rama pade nasha param brahma vidiyate. We want that supreme, unlimited, transcendental, true pleasure which all the sages are enjoying. And thus the absolute truth is called Ram. We want that. The verse is what? What do we have if we don't have that? We have self-conscious, self-obsession. Hands up if anyone feels like their soul was satisfied by being self-obsessed. Or being overly selfish. If your soul was satisfied by being overly selfish, or even selfish in general, soul was ever satisfied? Oh, I nearly saw a hand. Okay, no. So it's not like that. We know ourselves the answer. So what happens? What happens when someone has a really contagious laugh around you? Imagine a Paramakunapu who just starts laughing like he does. Ah, ha, 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 ha. Sorry, Hare Krishna. Imagine someone has a really crazy, contagious laugh around you. What happens to us? We laugh. So what happens if you connect to Krishna's happiness? What happens if you connect to that contagious love, that contagious ananda, what happens to us? Therefore, one who is seriously desiring liberation, concentrate on the form of the Lord because he is no different from his form. Thus, it's like a contagious laugh around you every second of the day. Every second of the day, feeling Krishna's presence. What's going to happen to you? This is also Shukadev Goswami's... we can say this is why Krishna appears as the Virat Roop. When I was hearing so many lectures, so many lectures on the Virat Roop, I'm just confused why the Virat Roop is there. So reading and reading and reading, it seems like Krishna is bridge preaching to us. Bridge preaching, what does bridge preaching mean? Bridge preaching means give an understanding so you can start practicing the process. Give a short understanding, a preliminary understanding, but you're not supposed to stay at the bridge. Give an understanding of what the process is. That is bridge preaching. One of the devotees, he says, every preaching is actually bridge preaching. You can't give tattva straight away. You have to bridge preach. There's also different kinds of bridge preaching. But Krishna is doing bridge preaching in this way. And it is because he wants us to remember him no matter what. Yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayad niveshaya. Any way which Krishna can get us to be conscious of him, he is giving us in the Bhagavad Gita. Any way and every way he can possibly make sure that we're Krishna conscious, he's facilitating that. He is the supreme leader because he gives the goal, he motivates us, and he facilitates us. These are the three aspects of a good leader. It's told by Bhakti Charamaj when he was reading Maharaj Prithu's Srimad Bhagavatam stories. So these are three aspects of the leader. And Krishna is the greatest leader because he's constantly facilitating us every and each way we can be Krishna conscious. In chapter 7 of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, I am the taste of water. Krishna says, I am the heat of fire, the syllable Om, the strength of man. Then he takes it up a notch in chapter 10. He says, I am the moon of the stars, of bodies I am the ocean, of sacrifices I am japa, of subduers I am time. And then he takes it up even further and says, here is my Virat Roop, here is my form. I am everything in this material world. There is nothing beyond me. He doesn't just show how he works in the material world. He doesn't just show how his energies work in the material world. He doesn't show just how his opulence are. He says, I am everything. There's nothing else but me. And if that happens, actually, just before going on to that, there's one thought I had from yesterday's lecture, 2 days ago. Srila Prabhupada was talking about Srila Prabhupada, his home, his worshipful place, and his office. And then he gave the example, Bombay, office, home, Vrindavan, worship, Mayapur. Then he gave the example, or his own reflection of understanding, he gave it what Lord Chaitanya is. Lord Chaitanya is, his home is Navadvip. His office is South India. And his place of worship is Jagannath Puri. That's it. And then I was thinking, okay, how can we apply that to Krishna? If Krishna has a home, where will it be? Vrindavan, it has to be, because Krishna Lok, his name is on the front, his name is on the door. Krishna Loka. So his home is there. Where is his place of worship? At least in my limited realization. Dwarka? Radharani's lotus feet. Radhakund? Where is Krishna's place of worship? Vaikuntha? Krishna says to Narad, Tatra tishtami Narada yatra gayanti mad bhakta. I am not in Vaikuntha, nor in the hearts of the devotees, but I am always where my devotees are singing my glories. So yeah, Krishna has his name on the door of his house, Krishna Loka. But where is he? He's in his place of worship. I also have my house in 219 Boston Road, somewhere down there. But I'm always here. So my home is there. Now my home is here. This is my now place of worship. So Krishna doesn't always have to be in Golok Vrindavan. I didn't give my address. Please, please don't go to my house. Hare Krishna. Sorry, Mom. So he's not in the heart of the yogis. He's not in Vaikuntha. He is where the devotees are reciting his glories, singing his glories. And so where's his office? Dwarka? At least in my limited understanding. Where's his office? Where does Krishna work? Mathura? I mean, in the heart. So if I understood correctly, and according to my limited realization, his office is the material world. Krishna can, we can be in office, we can be at home, but we can't be in two places at once. But Krishna, Bhakti Charamar says, Krishna, his work attire is Lord Vishnu, is the Vishnu expansions. His work attire, his suit and tie, that's where Vishnu is. But since he's all-powerful, he can be in Golok Vrindavan at the same time. So if I understood correctly, the material world is where Krishna puts on a suit and tie, even though he falls asleep the entire time. And he goes to town. Where does he go to town? On us. Through Balaram's energies, he is working tirelessly to make us Krishna conscious. He is sending Purusha avatars, incarnations, Shaktivesh avatars, Manvantara, every kind of avatar he's sending down to give us an opportunity. This is his office. The material world is his office. So you can think of a hill, you can think of a forest, you can think of an ocean, man, beast, demigod or bird, and think of him. Because the Virat Roop, unlike the Vishnu forms who are chilling out, Virat Roop is working hard. I listened to a lecture yesterday, and the translation of that was as Garbhadakshaya or Mahavishnu, he enters into each universe as Virat Roop. So actually Virat Roop is not only a personal feature or a feature of the Lord, which is material, but it acts as a huge functioning for the universe to work. He enters into each universe as Virat Roop. So it means that Virat Roop has a huge function. He's eating people, he's, you know, having so many hands, he's controlling things. We can see because his eyes are the sun and the moon, all these things. So his function is huge. So anyway, we can be Krishna conscious, Krishna is giving us, because he loves us. He wants us to be Krishna conscious, not me conscious. Just like a madhya uttamadhikari has to lower his level to a madhyamadhikari, Krishna has to lower his level to a Virat Roop, in my limited understanding, just to preach to us. Just as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes down and says, no, you're not doing it correctly. You write ABC like this. That's the entire function of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He teaches us what to do in devotional service. Similarly, Krishna is coming down to our level to teach us, no, be Krishna conscious. And be Krishna conscious is in any way. Yena tena prakarena. Mana krishna niveshaya. And then if we meditate on this form of Virat Roop, we will be able to think about Krishna one more time every day. If we imagine the Virat Roop wasn't there, imagine Krishna didn't give chapter 7, chapter 10, I'm the sun, I'm the water, I'm taste of water. Imagine he didn't give us all these different energies, all these opulences that we can utilize in our Krishna consciousness. Every time we take a drink of water, we may just think of Krishna. Well, we always think of Krishna. That's one more time every day we're thinking of Krishna. So that helps our Krishna consciousness. So if chapter 7 wasn't there, if the Virat Roop wasn't there, if chapter 10 wasn't there, if chapter 11 wasn't there, we would not be as Krishna conscious as we are in the neophyte impersonal stage of our devotional service. If we meditate on these things, we will become Mahatmas. Why? Because Vasudevam Sarvam Iti Sa Mahatmasu Durlabha. We will be seeing Krishna everywhere. Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. There is nothing beyond this world, beyond this universe, that is not Vasudev. I'm seeing Krishna everywhere. We will realize the Shastras, as Srila Prabhupada kindly mentions. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vishishyate. We will see that He is complete, He is everywhere. We will realize Ishavasyam idam sarvam yatkincha jagatyam jagatte nitaktena bunjita magrita kasya swiddhanam. We will realize this is what we are own, as our quota, this is not. Whatever we can use for Krishna consciousness, we will use for Krishna consciousness. And therefore our hands, when we come to this conclusion, when we come to this realization of Vasudeva Sarvamiti, Om Purnamada, Ishavasyam, our hands will naturally come together to everything. We will give respect to every living being. We will give respect to all devotees, non-devotees. We will give respect to creation and anything in creation. We will give respect to. And this respect is, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, the art of not committing any offenses. That's the secret. If we see Krishna everywhere, we will have to, we will force ourselves to respect everything, and thus we cannot disrespect anything. Offenses, aparad, is the only reason we're down here. So if you seriously want liberation, if you seriously want to stop committing offenses, you will meditate on the form, we will meditate on the form of the Lord, because there's nothing beyond than this. So he's saying this is the art. And if you're serious, then you'll follow. So just to finish it off, if we meditate all together, the entire world meditating on a Virat Roop as Krishna has given us, as Srila Prabhupada has kindly explained to us the needs for it, what will happen to the world? We will be working together for one goal. And what would that do? Instead of millions and millions of flags being created every day by the modern society, there will be one flag, ISKCON. Instead of millions and millions of books and religions giving so many of their own definitions and different explanations, there will be one book, Bhagavad Gita. Instead of so many anthems, God Save Our Queen, in every country, in every football match, there is a new anthem. The only anthem will be Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There will be only one form, one realization of God. Not God with a beard, not God with many big muscles. Krishna doesn't have a six-pack. He has a beautiful belly pack. God with one form, and that will be Krishna. And one currency. Not dollars, not pounds, not this money, this French money, this, no offense to everyone. Not any currency, but the currency of devotional service. That will be the only currency left. And one income. Not sense gratification, not money, not I want to do this because I want to do it. Well, your income, the income of the entire world would be Krishna Prem. Just giving a little realization. So this is, if we become Krishna conscious, if we give our lives to any way, any which way we can be Krishna conscious, this is what will happen to the world. One flag, one book, one anthem, one God, one currency, one income. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Krishna. If I'll take any questions. Jai. Not jai. If there's any questions or comments, otherwise we can end here.
Thank you very much for class. Very succinct. Just one, you mentioned the six different changes, and then just after that, you sort of said atheism is born. Does that imply that these sort of bigger concepts, like atheism, actually go through these changes as well, and eventually will? Because Prabhupada doesn't actually fight against atheism all that much. It's more Mayavad, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, voidism is covered atheism, and Mayavad is even worse than atheism. Atheists have the courage to say there's no God. Impersonalists say there is a God, but they are completely offensive against him. That's why Srila Prabhupada is going for the Mayavadis, because they're the real rascals. So you're saying, the question, if I got that correctly, you're saying, will atheism also go through these six gradual differentiations? Well, I mean, what can we do apart from... You see, there's not any time in the creation where the material world won't be there. I was thinking one time in the beginning of my practice of Krishna consciousness, I was thinking, if we get everyone to go back to Godhead because ISKCON is doing that, then there'll be no one to live in the material world. But a prison never closes down. There's always people going in the prison. The prison never shuts down. It shouldn't shut down, really, unless everything's clear, but it's never clear. So even if there's no atheists tomorrow, the next day there will be full of atheists, because that's why we're in the material world. So at least here, although there will be six gradual differentiations, it may die down, it will never completely die. Otherwise there's no use of this material world. There's always a prison house in America. There's always, never shut down. And see, the thing is, back in the day, in Satyayuga, everyone was pious. When Maharaj Yudhishthira or Maharaj Parikshit was ruling, everyone was God conscious. Only in this world. So there is possibilities, but atheism is a general philosophy. It can never die down. Hope that answers the question. Okay. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granth Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.